Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alladhi nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنهم فتية آمنوا بربهم وزدناهم هدى وقال الله تبارك وتعالى في مقام آخر أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هوى أفأنت تكون عليه وكيلا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حجبت النار بالشهوات وحجبت الجنة بالمكاره أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. First and foremost, I would like to thank one and all that are sitting here in the congregation. Jazakallahu khayran ahsanallahu jazak for having me here. Secondly, for those brothers that are sitting and leaning against something, my humble appeal and request is, I'm telling you, that wall will never fall. That glass, that window will never fall. So if you get yourself away from the window and the glass, and inshallah, come closer to us, then you'll feel the essence of the bayan, inshallah. Now the ayat kareema which I have recited before you, Allah Rabbul Izzat says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, have you not seen that person who has made his base desires his deity? In other words, his life is governed and dictated by the whims and fancies of himself. Now under the commentary of this ayah, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu says, just as throughout the times and ages, many images, many idols, many objects were worshipped, there has also remained a percentage of humanity who have chose to worship their base desires, who are not governed by any divine law, any faith or any religion, but rather follow their base desires. And if we look around today, and if we look into the world of entertainment, you will find that this particular percentage is only gaining momentum. So as the Quran says, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ رَبِّي. The nature of the human ego is constant provocation towards evil. It constantly incites and provokes a person towards evil. And furthermore, the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that the more a person succumbs to the demands of his nafs, the greater the threat it poses, the greater the harm. So there's nothing like enough in the vocabulary of a nafs. So if a person, for example, you know, he looks at a woman and he thought, you know, if I look at a woman, perhaps it would satisfy the crave, the anxiety, the restlessness in me, only to know it aggravates it. So from that gaze, it turns into a physical lustful gesture. Then Allah forbid, then it translates into zina. A person might be experiencing financial difficulties, then he sees Buckingham Bingo nearby, or he sees a casino nearby. Now he's tempted to go there. You know, perhaps I can make some quick money and settle my debts. Only to know he becomes a compulsive gambler. So the nature of this nafs is that it constantly incites and provokes a person towards evil. And really, brothers, you know, if we look around today, if we look into the entertainment industry, it is safely said that America and Britain spends more money on entertainment than it spends on its military budget. And if we look around, and if we look at the marketing strategy today, if we look at the marketing strategy today, the most vulnerable sector to this, of course, is the youth. Because why? Because the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is clear cut. He says, "Ash-shababu shu'batun min al-junun." Now, when a person is in his youth, he's in his prime, everything is brimming in his life, he's experiencing adolescence, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, he loses his sanity. So you are putting such options before a person who is not fully sober, who's not fully aware of what's happening, who's not fully conscious. A simple example of that is, you know, we fall into the trend of fashion and the norm, the society. As an example, we know all about the Apple iPhone. So it started off with 3G. Then the S came in. Now it's the 4. Then it's a G, 4G. The next one is S. Are we going to run after technology? Because that's the whole game. Is you run after us and we will create it. So the more we're going to go after them, the better they are going to feel. So as an example, a person is provoked by his ego for zina. So he barely exits his house and the first billboard that meets with his eyes is one of flirt. Now these are the billboards which I saw in South Africa when I was there. And even my Ustad, Sheikh Suleiman Mullah, did mention it in his dars whilst we were sitting there. He says, we barely exit from the house and the first billboard that meets with his eyes is one of flirt. Now then he has a constant provocation, the devil, a whisper, where Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِي يُوَسْوِسُ فِي صُدُورِ النَّاسِ, inciting him towards evil. So he barely exits from his house, the first billboard that meets with his eyes is one of flirt. Then he takes a little drive further, then he sees the picture of the most seductive, most attractive, most charming woman. Again, it just arouses and increases this evil inside him. And then he takes a little drive further, and the next billboard reads, "Just do it. I dare you to." Now these are the very same slogans our children, well we all, I wouldn't say children, but we all crave to wear. And how many youth aren't there under the very pretext of just do it? You know, try the pill, pop the pill, and they became addictive towards gambling, intoxicants and drugs. And really brothers, you know this slogan of Nike, you know, just do it. I mean, you ask any child, you'll take him to JD Sports, Foot Locker, JJB, you name it, any shop. He will say, "Papa, I only want one thing, Nike." Why? Because it's the norm, it's society, it's the trend, it's the fashion. All my friends, the circle of groups have got it. I need to have it as well. Well, for the younger ones, we know it's Burberry, Prada, and very all the other ones as well. So this is the reason why, like I said, fashion will lead a person forward and towards them. They will see success inside you. What success are you seeing inside them? And really, brothers, you know, reflect over what I say. How addictive society have we become that the tobacco industry will boldly put billboards identifying the harms of cigarettes, yet not fear dropping sales? How addictive society have we become that the tobacco industry will boldly put billboards? You know, harmful to a pregnant woman, can cause a deformed fetus, smoking can kill you. All these here are anti-messages, yet not fear dropping sales. And you know what's the amazing part is, you turn that box over, so you're going to get gold B&H. You turn it over and it says smoking can kill you, yet you are smoking 20 a day. We need to start and we need to realize how addictive society have we become towards cigarettes. Now we need them not to say, our Nabi said it 1400 years ago, إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ بِجَبَلٍ زَالَ عَنْ مَكَانِهِ فَصَدِّقُوهُ. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, if somebody comes and tells you that a mountain has moved, tell him, "No problem, I believe you, it's possible." But if you tell him that that young boy has abandoned his evil, tell him, "I don't believe you." Why? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, moving of a mountain is easier. So what is happening around today is being created conducive to appease this ego, to satisfy this ego. And really, brothers, they have made this ego their deity. You find, never mind committing incest, never mind committing zina. They have stooped so low committing those acts which even the animal kingdom do not commit, going against all human ethics and principles. And really, brothers, it doesn't just stop there. And they have taken a stance and have become vocal in their parades. And this has become the determined direction in their life. Another thing which I'd like to enlighten you about is this, the news round. Now, we all watch the news. I don't know much about journalism, but the little which I understand and I know is, if you actually listening to news or you're watching the news, it will commence by, you know, the murder has happened throughout the world, killing, disaster, calamity, catastrophe. Then we have the floods. Then we have the earthquakes, which is now recently happening in New Zealand, 7.1 on the Richter scale. It happened approximately early this morning, suhoor time. Hence, never mind. So they start off, they commence on a very high note. So, you know, you're watching the news, you're listening to the news, and then you're emotionally disturbed. You know, all these calamities, catastrophes that's happening throughout the world. And as the stories are unfolding, you're becoming emotionally disturbed. Then when it comes to the latter part of the news round or the news wrap-up, they have something called the sports wrap-up. So, you know, if we're supporting a football team or cricket team and it's, you know, 2-2. Or when I say Pakistan versus England, then we have the match fixing. So emotionally you're disturbed. But it's a sports wrap-up at the end of the day that makes you happy. And that's what makes it a different scenario altogether. So the sports wrap-up changes your entire mood. So they start off on a higher note, ending on a lighter note. Now this is how media has been designed. It has been decorated. And that's how we look at media today. Like I said, this is what entertainment is all about. For any small thing, you know, you want to actually send an article. You know, I seen a certain celebrity, I took a picture of it, and then you send it to the Sun, or for that matter, Daily Mirror. Then you're going to get a substantial amount for that article or that picture that you sent to them. Like I said, everything surrounding this world is entertainment. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam very, very clearly said, حُجِبَتِ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ وَحُجِبَتِ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِهِ. Allah has surrounded Jahannam with things that are appealing to your nafs. And Allah has surrounded Jannat with things that are undesirable to your nafs. And really, brothers, you know, if we look into the world of entertainment, everything is appealing to the nafs. You know, just for the fun, just for the kick, just for the buzz, just for the thrill. And how many youth have gone in and lost everything in this crave? Now let me give you one example from the Quran, where Allah speaks about this mentality which has been promoted on a very large scale. Now we all know about the incident when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam went to meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. It was in that interim where he left Sayyidina Harun alayhi salatu wasalam in charge. Now there was a person known by Samiri. Now I'm talking of the incident that happens in the 16th juz of the Quran, Surah Taha, where Allah speaks about it. So now this person, there was a person known by Samiri, but his actual name was also Musa, but the Quran makes reference to him as using the word Samiri. Now he had some miraculous sand with him. It was whilst Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was out meeting Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is the very same person who initiated the worship of the calf. So he got to the congregation and the masses and he said, هَذَا إِلَهُكُمْ وَإِلَهُ مُوسَى فَنَسِي. Lo, this is your God and the God of Musa. Musa has gone to Mount Ur, he's made a mistake and here lies his God. Now you know, anything unusual, supernatural, and the masses will flock towards it. So the congregation started worshipping the calf. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam returned first, he took his brother to task. He said, Yabna Umma, oh my brother, what prevented you? Ya Harun, ma mana'aka idh ra'aytahum dallu. What prevented you? What stopped you? You seen my nation deviating. Couldn't you use some force and stop them? So Harun alayhi salatu wasalam said, chill, relax, don't be hasty. So he said, Yabna Umma, la ta'khud bi lihyati wala bi ra'si. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was actually holding his beard. Now sometimes a question arises, but when did Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam have a beard? Now we can derive from it, Yabna Umma, la ta'khud bi lihyati wala bi ra'si. So one first, in order to hold a person firm, one first is sunnat, beard. So inshallah we'll make the intention of keeping the beard. So we derive from this ayah, sunnah, beard, one first. That's the only way you can have a full grip of a person. So Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Harun alayhi salatu wasalam said, Yabna umma la ta'khud bi lihyati wala bi ra'si. Calm down, relax. And I will tell you, I had one of the two options. Either I wage war with Bani Israel, but I feared permanent dissension and division. So I rather, in a very diplomatic and passive way, I will engage them, and hence I did not use force against those who worshipped and initiated the worship of the calf. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was somehow convinced with the answer. Then after, Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam called Samiri. He goes, come here. Qala ma khatbuka ya Samiri. Come here. What got into you as a young boy? Why did you start the worshipping of the calf? So the word he used, Allah put it in the Quran and said, كَذَلِكَ سَوَّلَتْ لِي نَفْسِي. He said, you know why I did this? Because I felt like doing it. Just for the fun of doing it. And wallah brothers, you will hear this statement. Don't ever underestimate this statement. It was this very same statement that was brimming in this child. Now let me tell you who this child was. The very same child who opposed Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. When Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, why did you start it? Because I felt like doing it. He was born in the lap of Jibra'il. He was born the very same year Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was born. When Fir'aun had issued the decree of children to be killed, his mother felt the well-being of her child and said, I cannot see my own child being slaughtered in my own hands. So hence she went to the jungle and left the child in the jungle. Now it comes in the footnotes of Jalalain that Sayyidina Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam would come and nurture and nourish this child. Hence then the poet says, فَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ جِبْرَئِيلُ كَافِرُ وَمُوسَ الَّذِي رَبَّاهُ فِرْعَوْنُ مُرْسَلُ. That no person should become complacent. Remember the Musa who grew up in the lap of Fir'aun, he became the prophet of Allah. Remember the Musa who grew up in the lap of Jibra'il, he became the enemy of Allah. And really brothers, you know, if we open the Quran, there are many incidents of our youth. The whole congregation was to educate our youth. Have we ever read about Ashabi Kahf, the seven sleepers in the cave, and the dog that joined them? Have you ever read about Ashabi Kahf? Inshallah, I will run you very briefly through it. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commences, and Allah speaks about talented youth. Allah says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُ عَلَيْكَ نَبَأَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. Let me narrate to you in great detail and in absolute truth the reality of these young boys. Now it comes in the books of tafsir that they lived after, they were in the era after Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, few centuries prior to the birth of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So they were practicing the teachings of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Hence they were two true Christians in the true sense of the word, obeying Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, believing in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and living a life of upright and nobility. Then Allah commences with the chapter by saying, innahum fitya. Allah says they were youth in the prime of their life. the cream of his nation. Amanu bi rabbihim, they brought iman on Allah. Wazidnahum huda, then we multiplied them in their faith. Now one day there was a get together. Now these young boys coming from diverse background, they used to worship idols as well, and they were part of the family, so they also came. And as they observed the strange practices of their community, their inner sentiments of truth had no choice but to frown upon the practices of their community. And they said, Allah has made me a young boy. Allah has given me talent. I cannot channel my talent in Allah's disobedience. So one of them withdraws and sneaks away from a gathering and takes shelter beneath a tree. Now he singled out his marginal. But the very same sentiments of truth brings them all together, and they all gather beneath a tree. Now all of them are silent. But after much silence, now nobody wants to divulge the reason as to why he's here. But after much silence, one of them stands up and takes the courage and says, listen folks, why are we here in our youth? Why aren't we partying with them? You know, let's go to the V festival. You know, let's go to this carnival. Let's enjoy the party that's happening in and around the society. So this was the reality of what's happening. Why? At the time of the seven sleepers. So they decided at that point, let's take shelter beneath a tree. But one of them stands up and takes the courage and says, the Quran speaks about this. This is totally wrong. It's against Islam. And it's against what Allah has given me talent. As a young boy, I cannot channel my talent in Allah's disobedience. When he says this, the others just amplify the same sound. Very soon, the news start breaks out and started talking amongst the people. You know, there's a group of talented youth who have decided to oppose the message of their forefathers and violated the teachings of the king. And it doesn't stop there, and it started gaining momentum. So the king summoned them, and then the Quran says, وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ إِذْ قَامُوا فَقَالُوا رَبُّنَا رَبُّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَنَّدْعُوَ مِن دُونِهِ إِلَهًا لَقَدْ قُلْنَا إِذًا شَطَطَىٰ. The king summoned them, and they were part of a royal family. Scholars write they lived an absolute luxurious life. They lived an absolute luxurious life. And the moment they forsaken and abandoned the teachings of their forefathers and violated the teachings of the king, they were stripped of all privileges and luxuries. And they were brought in the king. And the king openly asked them, who is your God? Who is your deity? They said, Rabbuna Rabbu Samawati wal Ard. Nothing to fear, we will tell you openly. Our Lord and the Lord of the skies and the earth, and the very same Lord who has created you, O King. هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ اتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِهِ آلِهَةً. And here stand our nation ascribing partners with Allah. And can they produce any evidence of these gods that they worship? And should they not produce, which they definitely cannot produce, then they are no greater liars than them, and that includes you, O King. Now when the king heard this, he naturally became enraged. And he said, move from here, I will give you 2 days, thereafter I will behead you. Now these young boys, they sat together totally opposed by the entire environment, understanding the odds are against them and they don't have the support of anybody. I wish to pause and implore to my youth. Today, we have the time to read magazines. We have the time to sit on the internet. We have the time to sit on Facebook, Twitter, UK, Chatterbox, you name it. We have the time to do it. Do we have the time to open the Quran and recite and understand the Quran? You know, we commonly have the excuse that, you know what, Mawsab, I don't understand the Quran, so how can I concentrate? Wallah, you don't need to understand the Quran for concentration. Have full conviction that Allah will make me understand the Quran. Inshallah, Allah will make you understand the Quran. So these youth sat together and they said, you know, we have to make a quick move. You know, we can't, at no cost are we going to forsake our deen. We don't have the support of our families, never mind anyone else. So one of them suggested, why don't we take some shelter in a cave? And we'll base ourselves there and then we'll see what will happen. Immediately the question was, يُهَيِّئْ لَكُم مِّنْ أَمْرِكُم مِّرْفَقًا. The question was food, drinks, and our well-being. The answer was simple. When we separate on Allah's name, Allah will make divine arrangements. Hence, they go inside this cave and they hibernate. Today, my respected friends and elders, you are not asked to go inside the cave. Yes, you are asked to avoid a party. Yes, you are asked to avoid this baby shower, bridal showers that you get. You are asked to avoid a birthday party. Yes, you are asked to avoid a bachelor's party. You are asked to avoid all these festivals and carnivals that takes place throughout society in this country. Yes, you are asked to avoid these kind of places where Allah speaks about His beloved servants of the beloved servants in the Quran, where Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ, who do not even attend evil gatherings. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا. But when they pass by evil gatherings, they pass by lowering their gaze and hastening their pace. But then they say, Mulsab, Buckingham Bingo looks very nice from outside. Flashy lights. I understand it looks beautiful. But the more we're going to look towards it, the more attractive we are going to become towards it. So hence these youth went inside the cave and they hibernate. Now giving up a life of absolute luxury and comfort. Who? For the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let me tell you how nature makes divine arrangement for these young boys. How Allah comes in the picture, the Quran then draws the picture. وَتَرَى الشَّمْسَ إِذَا طَلَعَتْ تَزَاوَرُ عَنْ كَهْفِهِمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَإِذَا غَرَبَتْ تَقْرِضُهُمْ ذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ وَهُمْ فِي فَجْوَةٍ مِّنْ. Allah is addressing Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, O Nabi of Allah, you should have seen the sun, that I made it so. When these youth were sleeping in this cave, I made it so that when it would rise in the early hours of the morning, the rays of the sun would avert the cave. Likewise, at midday and sunset, the rays of the sun would go beyond the cave. For who? For these young boys. What's the reason? Separating for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٌ. Allah made divine arrangements. Allah says, you would assume them to be awake, yet they were in deep sleep. Scholars explain that they slept with their eyes open so that nobody would dare come close to them. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. وَنُقَلِّبُهُمْ ذَاتَ الْيَمِينِ وَذَاتَ الشِّمَالِ. And Allah would send angels to toss and turn them so that the insects of this earth must not feed on these bodies. Brothers, when me and you will be lowered in our graves, we will be in our own grave. That person who applies the best of fragrance and deodorants, you open his grave after 3 days, it gives off such a stench, you wouldn't want to come close to that cemetery, never mind the grave, where these insects will feed on our bodies. Wallah, brothers, they did not sleep for a day. They did not sleep for a month. They did not sleep for an hour. They did not sleep for a year. But Allah gave them peaceful sleep. They slept for 300 years. I'll be more specific where Allah says in the Quran, 309 years they slept. Allah says, لو اطلعت عليهم لوليت منهم فرارا ولملئت منهم رعبا. That if perchance you would pass by this cave, you'd be captured by awe. Subhanallah, when these young boys, when they were awakened from their sleep, when they woke up, and immediately the first thing they asked each other, كم لبثتم, how long did we sleep? So one of them said, قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ. Subhanallah. No, this is divine ecstasy, not filthy ecstasy. They slept for 309 years. So one of them said, you know, I think we slept for half a day. The other one said, no, I think we slept for a full day. So whilst they're busy arguing, the other one said, you know, whether we slept for half a day, the day is over. Here's some money and go and buy some food. فَلْيَنْذُرْ أَيُّهَا أَزْكَى طَعَامًا. And he said, whatever you do, you make sure you bring halal food. You know, we're hungry after a couple of hours knowing that our fast is so long. They're hungry after 309 years. I think we'll never last. We'll collapse. So hence, and he said, make sure they don't locate you. You know, 3 centuries has passed. That king has passed. And they're still expecting, you know, the king might be alive. You know, I was back in South Africa last year. And I asked a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine. I told him, Sheikh, you know, never mind, I tell you the harms of drugs and cigarettes. Why don't you read up the harms of drugs and cigarettes? So he said, Maulana, since I read the harms of drugs and cigarettes, I gave up reading. Wallah, brothers, Allah speaks about these youth, talented youth, and Allah speaks about the dog that joined them. Allah has given us talent. We need to channel our talent in the correct manner. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that once again He gives us this ability to really channel our talent in the correct manner. Irrespectively how we are educated in the university, in the college, in the schools, we need to channel our talent in the correct way. Let's have the role models. Our role models should be Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, and our ultimate role model is Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He gives us the energy to practice upon whatever has been said. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ